Blog Talk Radio.
I was sitting in the kitchen and I was like, Lord, what am I gonna do? I have all these responsibilities, all this going on, and it seems like I'm doing everything I can for you, and everything is just going opposite. Anybody ever been there where it seems like you were doing all you knew to do, and still you took 2 steps forward and you took 5 steps back, and you're saying, God, what in the world is going on? And I was sitting in my kitchen and I didn't understand it. And then these words came. I said, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, 'cause you've been so good.
Lift your voice. Come on, tell them today.
You've been so good to me.
Let's go right here. Everybody lift up your voice.
Lord, you are good. You've been so good.
Come on, say, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good. You've been better.
Because I owe you, Jesus.
I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough.
Somebody say, even if I tried,
if
it wouldn't work. You've been better than good to me. was sitting over the dishes.
Lord, you have been so good to me. Even in the middle of this blizzard that we are in here in New York, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the rain, whatever's going on in our life, God is good to us. And he's done so many good things for us. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassion, they fail not. Great is God's faithfulness towards us. We thank God for another day, for life, health, and strength, for an opportunity to share with you, our global listeners. For those of you that don't know, I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and you're listening to Global Gospel. We are here every Saturday from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want you to know that we don't own the rights to any of the music that you hear on today, but we pray that whatever you hear, that is a blessing to you, and to you. And that first selection, we just started out with Todd Galbraith. You, Lord, you are good. And I'm sure there's many of people that can agree with me with that on today. Well, we want you to tell your family, tell your friends, your neighbors to log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/global-gospel. And certainly we want you to connect with us. We want you to know that we are on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter and Tumblr. If you go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, or our Tumblr page, there's a direct link to Global Gospel. Also, all our shows are archived. We're syndicated on Apple iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. You can connect with us on those platforms as well, any time of day or night. We do encourage you to call in. And so our number in studio is 619-924-0800. 619-924-0800. We thank God for all of our listeners around the world, in the north, the south, the east, and the west, the United States, Canada, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, whatever continent you're on. We thank God for you, and you continue to listen into Global Gospel. We want to shout out our sponsors today, Molina's Factory, Third Lounge, Ryan Wilson, Abyssinia, the Nationwide Black Family Mediation Services, Lois Glenn Carter, and certainly MPT Enterprise, Marlon Townsend. We thank God for all of you, our sponsors and listeners as well. Our theme here at Global Gospel is, for those of you that don't know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so today we present you with Jesus Christ. We present you with life and life more abundantly. And we want you to know that the message is still the same for the rich, the poor, the black, the white, that we have life more abundantly. And certainly you don't have to give up hope. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to be suicidal, because Christ came for you to set you free. Well, we have a special guest that will be sharing with us on today. And so we are going to take a break. And after that break, you will be hearing more from Global Gospel. Stay tuned. This selection here encourages us to do one thing. How about you think on that?
When you've done all you can, and seems like it's never enough, and what do you say when your friends turn away, and you're all alone? Tell me, what do you give when you give in your all and when there's nothing left to do, you just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just tell me, how do you handle guilt of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how can you smile while your heart has been broken and given your own, yeah. Seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand once the Lord sees you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just
our listeners to stand. We are back. You're listening to Global Gospel. I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and we have a very special guest in studio with us here on today. God bless you and good afternoon, special guest.
Greetings, King. Greetings. How's everything?
All is well, and how are you?
You know, I'm chilling, man. I can't complain. I'm in a very blessed space, so, you know, I'm just going to try to keep the blessings going by not disappointing God. Feel me?
Awesome, awesome. I hear you. There's a lot of people listening, and I'm sure all of our listeners recognize the celebrity voice that is in studio with us today. But in case they're in shock and didn't recognize the voice, tell our listeners who you are.
Well, family. My name is Lamar K. Cheston. I am born in Brooklyn, New York, graduate of Hofstra University. I am now, for the last, coming up on 6 years, full-time actor. Started out dancing, actually, and then transitioned to the stage. And now life has taken me to a lot more television and film. So I'm just, you know, rolling with the punches. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a man of God, and, you know, I'm a faith-based person, heavy, and I just move accordingly, you know.
Awesome. Well, we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
I love that.
You are very busy, and we'll talk about all the things that you're busy with a little later. We thank God that you were allowed to share this short space with us. For those of you that read the title for today, top title today is Life, Cameras, and Action. So much can we break down and three different ways, or
oh yeah,
break it down in one way, or but so number one, life happens, and so tell us a little bit about yourself. You told us a little bit about yourself. Now, did you plan on taking this direction in life?
All right. Well, when I got to college, I was an accounting major. You know, my focus was really on like I love numbers, and I was good, and I was good. I still love numbers, and I was good with them. And you know, so pursuing a career in the arts is not necessarily the most stable of careers. You know, especially when you have, of course, your parents who want the best for you. So I went into it, you know, just planning to leave Hofstra with a degree in some sort of business, either accounting or just general business. And but then over my my years there, man, I got, you know, I just got bored. You know, I the artist in me started to take over, and I didn't want to be in spaces where I wasn't able to be creative. So I took some advice from a young lady who was my girlfriend at the time, who was also an actor, and she was like, you know, just try it. You know, maybe you need to switch something up to, you know, to get you out of school one and make you happy again. And then I went back to Hofstra, took an elective in that fall, and a year and a half later, I had my degree in drama. So the path was not it was not always destined to be an artist, at least in my mind. But you know, it may have always been there subconsciously.
And you know what? That is true for so many of us. We grow up thinking one thing about life, and then life happens, and then we feel. Sometimes we have a career change. We go to school for one thing. We get a degree in something, and we actually end up working in a totally different field that has nothing to do with anything. And I always tell everybody the Bible says time and chance happens to all. And so a lot of things is just time and chance, you know.
Things just happen.
Sometimes things just fall into place. And God always knows. But we don't always know. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't dating the young lady at the time, I mean, I may not have finished college. I may not have gotten the encouragement to go towards the artistic route, or I could have gotten encouragement to be, no, just, you know, stay with it for the next couple of years. You're almost done. But, I mean, it doesn't take a long time to, you know, mess with somebody's mental, you know, health. Like, you know, so I don't want to – 2 years, it could have been a long time, and it really could have – put a damper on what, you know, God is doing with me right now, you know? So it's just, it's a blessing to have clarity in times where, and from people that you don't even expect.
Awesome. Awesome. So, I'm sure all of that has a beginning place in, your faith walk has something to do with your upbringing, correct?
Oh man. So, I mean, I was talking to another brother, Jason Hendrickson from Brooklyn, and
okay.
a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling him, man, like my path in terms of my career, definitely, and my life is all connected to faith, to my faith, to my belief in God, and to the people that keep me connected, you know, because we all need accountability partners and things like that. So in 2000, I started dancing. And it was with my mentor, Brian Hawthorne, who was also connected to the Greater Allen Cathedral of New York. And that was my first church home in New York. So my dance instructor, who's also my mentor, who's also a member of this church, brought me to his church 3 years later in 2003. And I got saved by the dance instructor, who's also my mentor, who brought me and kept me, you know, connected with Christ in 2003 by Darius Thomas from Greater Allen Cathedral. So it's all directly connected, because I still speak to these men now. I mean, I'm still in the arts, and Brian Hawthorne, who got me started on the arts, in the arts, is still a person who I call, I speak to. Like he's a really good friend, and definitely, you know, my mentor in all things artistry and just life in general. So yeah, it's all connected, man. To this day, you know, I call the people from Allen, or I talk to them, and all from my church home now. New Life Cathedral in Brooklyn, under the leadership of Archbishop Robert Joel Rochford. So it's like, and that leader, coming from the leadership of Floyd Flake, the Reverend Dr. Floyd H. Flake and Elaine Flake, and then going to under Bishop Rochford, it's just like I've had great leadership to keep me locked in. I make We've all made stupid mistakes. We make mistakes. Things happen. We are human. But it's the people around us and the things that they're connected to that keep us connected, you know, that's really why I am. If you want to say I'm anywhere right now, that's why I am where I am and who I am right now.
Wow. So we always have to thank God for those God connections.
Indeed.
Because so many people, we talked last week about friendship and those type and God connections. And God connections are not like any other connections. And that's great that you have connected with so many great men and women of God, well-respected ministries in the New York area. And
indeed.
We've had our Pastor Darius Thomas on radio here before. And
wonderful. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, very, very, when he was with Shekinah, we were very connected.
That's great, man. That's how I came to Shekinah at 16, and he had just taken over the church. And where I got saved was at a Bible study in the basement of the cathedral. But Darius, he was the youth pastor when I came in. He had just taken over for, I believe, Felicia Faye Long, who is pastor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. And you know what they say, 6 degrees of separation. So we're all connected.
Man, I just tweeted that the other day, man. I said 6 degrees of separation is real, baby.
It is. Small world.
Oh, yeah.
Small world.
Indeed.
And it gets smaller.
Yeah, man, I'm seeing that every single day. Like every time in terms of the acting, if I go onto a set, it's usually somebody who I've worked with before. Definitely somebody whose work I've seen before. But for the if it's crew or cast, I've usually worked with them before. And now I'm seeing that the people and the artists that are working a lot more than I was before, and I'm starting to work a little bit more now. I'm seeing that it's the same people. So it must be something about those people that keeps them employed, keeps them happy, and keeps them, you know, creating good art. So when I see those people in the same circles, in the same sets and things like that, I know I'm in the right place, you know?
Wow. That's awesome. It is. Life can be interesting.
That's a fact. Yeah,
life can be very interesting. And it always gives us those, somebody said it, Oprah, or somebody said aha moments.
Aha
like
moments,
that.
Yeah. Jump on the couch, Tom Cruise moment.
So it's always great when we can sit back and watch God's hands on our life. And then so many great people, if you check their history, singers, actors, artists, listen, they all always had a start somewhere in somebody's church. Their neighbor took them to church.
Oh, yeah.
Their parents, their grandmother. They had somebody made them sing in church, you know.
Yeah, but Easter play, you know. Come back to the Easter play for grandma.
Yeah,
man, I know. Yeah, for sure.
We all got to start somewhere. And that's a great stage. That's the first stage many of us start on.
Yeah. There's a picture in my grandmother's house of me, my boy Brandon, and my homegirl Jessica. I used to live in South Carolina with her. So we would go. That's when I was in church every Sunday. And I probably was in church multiple times a week. I can't remember because I was really young.
But you had no choice.
My cousin always jokes on me that every day, I had no choice. My cousin always jokes to me that every day my grandmother had me dressed in a button down, a bow tie, and hard bottoms, like every single day. So there's a picture in her house of me at the mic, my boy Brandon next to her, and my girl Jessica next to him. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm like, I'm lit. It's like it's a performance. Oh, I'm saying something in front of hundreds of people, and because I know the church down south was really big, and I'm like, man, I was doing this back then, but talking to you now, it just made me think that it's not new, you know. Like I've been put on a platform to speak in front of people for over 20, 30 years now, you know.
Wow, being prepared for greatness, and
wow.
I think that so many that's probably one of the unfortunate things about this up and coming generation or current generation, that they don't necessarily have parents or grandparents that are really pushing them and preparing them. They make their own decisions, you know.
Yeah, man, I hear you. And my grandma, yeah, it like you said, I didn't have a choice. It wasn't like, grandma, I don't want to go to church. No, you get up and you go into church, and then there may be a service after, and you can eat between services downstairs and come back up and make sure you sit up there with the choir because you got to sing this Sunday. Like, it's no choice, man. This is what you do.
Right. And we can definitely appreciate those things as we get older.
Word up.
So from there, you know, you had this upbringing, you went to college. Mm-hmm. And then what was your first moment when you were like, okay, I'm on the right track now?
Boy. Let me see.
I'm sure there were several moments like
that. You know what? And it's crazy, man, because now I've always been one to like want to be able to encourage and inspire people and stuff like that. And also I also need that. So like I have mentors in place that do that for me. And then I'm sure that I am a mentor to some other people who, you know, I can give some knowledge to. So doubt creeps in, man. So even when like now people could be like, oh yeah, Lamar, that, I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying, but doubt is a real thing. You know, fear of not being able to produce is a real thing. So but I feel like when I went to LA, I was with a group called Church of Laugh. And I got with them, I think 2015, shout out to my boy, Jeremy Williams. So we had a gig in LA. It was August 16th, I believe, or August 24th, 2016. And I was working a little bit more, and I went out there and I said, God, when I come back, I need this LA trip to tell me if I'm going to go into it full time or if I'm still going to like give half the energy here and give half the energy to me teaching. I taught in the New York City public school system for 7 years. So that was like my, if you want to call it a survival job, I was doing that plus working, running the after school program. So, you know, and then I had to turn that off, and, you know, it's not easy to turn off 8 hours of kids kindergarten through 12th grade, you know. I got to turn that off and then lock in for an audition. I wasn't giving it 100%. So I said to God when I went to LA, if when I come back to New York, if I'm not going to go back to that job, let me know. If I'm going to just go into acting full time, I need this LA trip to tell me. LA was amazing. We had a great time out there. We put on a great performance, even shot some other stuff. I came back to New York and I called the school. This was 2 weeks before school started. I had no money. I didn't save anything. I was just like, if I'm going to do it, it needs to happen, and I have to give it 100%. For however long I can. I don't know how long I'm going to do it for, but however long God will sustain me. I called them back. I mean, I called the school when I got back to New York, and it was 2 weeks, and they were expecting me to come back. I said, unfortunately, I can't come. You know, I'm just going to – and my whole thing with that was I always give 100% to everything I'm doing. Once my 100% is split, then I feel right. So my kids were getting shortchanged because my career was taking off. And I'm like, I can't have that happen. So I need to go 100% into the career and let somebody else who I feel is capable give the kids 100%. And they'll still get everything they need and everybody's happy. So in 2016, I feel like I had that. That was it. I went cold turkey, no money saved, no gigs booked, just we're going to go and do it. And like I said, almost 6 years later, here we are. So that had to be the moment, that LA moment.
Wow. So you said a few things that were important. And mm-hmm. So as we seek to be in a place in life where we want to be, and you were saying that you were you had two things going on. And what people don't realize is, listen, there's your hopes, your dreams, and your aspirations. And then there's, I have to get the bills paid.
So, yes, sir.
So we all work on our hopes and dreams and aspirations, but then we had that job that's like, listen, I got to eat. I need a place to live. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the necessities of life. And so that is definitely, I'm sure, a sigh of relief when you were able to make that transition, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, man. It hurt a little bit because I genuinely had students from kindergarten that if I would have stayed that year, I would have saw them graduate fifth grade. Like that to me was like,
wow,
oh, man. So, but I did. I went back to the graduation, but I just didn't get to see them, you know, that as seniors. I saw them as babies, and now they're like fifth grade seniors, stuff like that. That hurt. But then, you know, to leave and get emails from parents and to get phone calls from kids or FaceTime, to this day, because the relationships that I built there were so good and so full of substance, you know, like it warmed my heart, man. Like every time I get a text or a call or one of them sees me on something or just reaches out and says, you know, I just want to say hi, we miss you, and they remember me. So I'm like, I didn't leave there and leave them shortchanged. I left them with something good, a positive black male figure, and I'm working in a predominantly all-white school.
Wow.
And this is in Gramercy on 20th and 1st, and I love every kid the same now, and if I saw him today, I'd show him the same love. But you got to understand, and I had to understand, and, you know, walking into a predominantly white school of K through 8th grade, I had K through 5th graders, and these parents are entrusting me for at least 4 hours of the day with their children. So at a very malleable age, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like it was great, man. Just to know that I you know left some sort of impression that was positive on their lives, you know.
Right, and then you know, we all have to realize, listen, something, you know, we all live in seasons, you know.
And, yes, it's just the season, yeah, man.
Our seasons change, and you know sometimes right. It's you know. It can be emotional. It can be bittersweet. But listen, we can't stay someplace longer than God will allow us to stay, because then, you know, we're not being progressive for ourselves or others. So
right.
That's definitely something. And so you mentioned about being a positive. Well, we're still talking about life cameras action. But you did mention about being a positive black male, and I actually understand that. I had a brief career in education as a para.
I did that too. I'll tell you that story after you finish the story.
So I understand that there's not many black males, especially on the elementary level. You know,
yeah,
you see more as you move up to maybe junior high or high school. And matter of fact, I can think, being in a public school system, there were male teachers, but from K to 6, I never had a classroom teacher that was a black male. I had black positive male images in my life
right.
and in the school, the principal, but there weren't and there's still not a lot of
there's
black
not.
Males.
You're right.
In
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
So go ahead. Tell your
story. No. Oh no. All I was going to say. So again, man, you know, I God is just he's funny, man. He has the greatest sense of humor. So we're not even going to like challenge that. Like he's the funniest dude. So I'm like, all right, man. I'm gonna stop working at the school. I'm gonna go to it full time. But again, that fear, that doubt that I was talking about, I'm like, yo, but what if I, but what if I don't, but I still got to pay. As I had a whole apartment, I was living on my own, da-da-da. What if I can't? What if I don't? So what I do, I'm like, you know what, to ensure that if something goes wrong, I'm going to have a fail safe or whatever, fallback, I did all of the requirements to become a para. So if I needed bread, and all I had to do was like wake up early, call sick, or get a call or let them call me. I mean, me call them. And I'm like, all right, I can do that. I can do that. So I know it would guarantee me some money. But what they didn't tell me was that, what I looked over was that you got to work 25 full days in a school year. And I'm like, 25 days? That's light. I could do that. A school year is September to May, but to mm-hmm. June. I only worked 20 days. And then, couldn't come back the second year as a para. So God was like, listen, you asked me for something. You went to LA. I showed you what life could be like. You come back. You said you were going to do what you told me. And now you're doubling back. So you that's not what we agreed upon. When you got back here, you're gonna go 100% into this. But now when you get back here, you're still not giving us 100% because you got this para thing just in case, you know. So he didn't even allow me to finish the full 25 days. So he's like, you know what? I'm not even gonna let you do 25. I'm gonna let you do 20, almost get there and feel a burn of not being able to come back the next year. And now you're gonna have to give it 100% because you have nothing else to get fall back on but me, you know. It's crazy, man. That like I see everything like that. Like everything is a sign. Whenever you try to step out of the alignment that God has you in, or that you are in with Him, whenever you try to step out of that, He's gonna show you why you should have stayed there.
Very, very good advice.
And this is me, man. And I'm talking to my brother right now, so it's like this is real, you know.
I hear you. I yeah. So now you transfer, you're on the big stage and breaking barriers and still being that positive image. Mm-hmm. So what? How was transitioning into stage life and going behind the camera or in front of the camera? What's that been like?
You know, it's okay. So I had to learn that these mediums, the stage, television, and in movies, those three mediums are very different. You know, I had to learn that very fast. So. In 09, I left Hofstra. I didn't in those 4 years, from 09 to 2013, when I got like I was working for 4 years. I was doing Black Spectrum Theater. They and shout out to them because they gave me my first. They put me in my first play in Queens, New York. My first like play that I got paid for, and it was like on a you know it was nice. So Black Spectrum Theater. Shout out to Carl Clay, and. With that one, it was even a grind. What I would do, I would go out on Saturdays. We would pack up their mobile truck. The mobile truck would go drive out to the Bronx. We would unpack it. They would have a full concert in the middle of, like, the projects in the Bronx or whatever. I had to stay there all day, pack up the truck, drive back to Queens, get back around, like, 11, 12. And I would walk from where I was living on 225 in Merrick to Black Spectrum, and I would walk back. Cause I ain't have money like that, and I'm like, nah, I'm gonna do it. So you know, I ain't gonna ask my mother for no bread. I walked. That was like a good 30, 45 minute walk every day, and I got paid $50 one time. I did that a whole summer, you know. So
wow.
Like, dude, yeah. Like in terms of dudes being put in and stuff like that, like I feel like I put them in, and I'm still putting them in. But Black Spectrum, I always loved them for that. Shout out to them because they saw the work that I was doing. And then they gave me the opportunity to audition. And then I got into theater. Now, theater, I was doing that for my first thing on stage was theater. I played Othello in 2003. So, that was Brian Hawthorne. Again, we had auditions. I auditioned. I ended up getting that role. So from 2013 till about 18 or 19, I was heavy theater. Like, I mean, I traveled everywhere. I was in Texas, Florida, Atlanta, LA. We were everywhere doing theater, and I was loving it. But I also knew that I wanted to transition to TV and film. So here I am. I'm like, you know what? All right, cool. The theater thing I'm gonna keep doing. I'm good at it. It can make me some money, but I know I want to continue to. I want to create art that affect people on a grander scale. And you'll get 100, 200 people in the theater, but 100,000, 200,000 people sitting at home watching something for an hour, it's kind of – the odds are better in this favor, you know, if you want to affect people globally. So I'm like, all right, what I do? I said I'm going down to Atlanta, a one-way ticket. I'm not coming back till I book something because I know Atlanta was popping and New York, I was getting some work, but I want my reach to be everywhere. So I came back to Atlanta and I booked a play, strategic, because a play I knew would keep me in Atlanta where I could survey the premises, see what's going on, and try to get an agent out in Atlanta to get on TV and film. So, and that's exactly what happened. I did the play, I got some eyes, and now I'm auditioning for more television and film. So I'm like, okay, boom. But I'm still approaching it as if they're theater auditions, and I'm like, why am I not getting the work? I know, at least I think I'm good. I was doing it in the theater. So I went to a theater audition, and the director called me, and she was like, have you been auditioning a lot for TV and film? And I was like, yeah, that's kind of why I came out here. I wanted to, you know, make a mark out here like that. And she was like, I can tell because your auditions, it's kind of inward. It's kind of low. The energy is not as, you're just not as big as you usually are. You're not taking the space and the stage as you usually do. So she noticed that the transition was happening from me auditioning for theater to film, because the change is that evident. A lot of people just think you can go on and act, and if you can be on TV, you can be on stage. It's not. There is a lot of work that goes into, and a lot of learning that goes into the different mediums, and I haven't mastered any of them. I'm still working on them, especially film, because I haven't booked I booked one film so far, and I feel like that's another space where, again, global effect, you know, worldwide effect. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So there's definitely different aspects. As you explained to us, and we can reach different populations or a larger population according to what you're doing. So do you feel most comfortable stage and on film and television?
Theater is my first love, man. You know,
okay.
Boy, that's a funny question.
Listen, you don't have to make a choice.
I'm not, because I'm thinking. I said theater is my first love, but dance is actually my first love, because dance was the gateway to theater. You know, theater was it is amazing, but dance is my first love. Yeah, man. You know, at this point where my artistry is at, I feel comfortable in any room. Now, I don't know how it's going to read to the person on the other side of the camera, but any room I step into, I'm feeling comfortable because I've put in the work and I'm continuing to put in the work. Like, I'm in class now. I'm always in class. Like,
always a student, right?
Always a student. I'm literally in class and teaching a class right now. So, I mean, it's always learning. It's always something to teach.
Cool. So, I'm going to take a break.
No doubt.
Because, you know, you do, you are involved in music as well. And so actually I'm going to kind of backtrack myself because I didn't mention, you picked the introduction song, which is Stan, Donnie McClurkin. So tell us what that song means to you, and tell us what the next song that we're going to go to break with means to you.
So Stan, I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. I came in to the organization fall 2005, and every day of the process, you know, just the process of becoming a member, there's a lot of stuff to learn. There's a lot of stuff, you know, just because we have tests to take and all of that. But every day of the process, every morning, I should say, the first song I listened to was Stand by Donnie McClurkin, because embarking upon that process and the legacy of that organization, you know, it was a lot. So that song just encouraged me to, you know, even when you've done everything that you thought you can do, you can still get up. You know, you can still stand, and you could probably do more, because standing, you know, involves energy. If you have energy to do that, you can find someplace else in you to do more, you know. So that's one of my favorite, if not my favorite gospel. And it may have come, I forget when it came out, but I came through in 2005. It may have been at that time. But shout out to Donnie McClurkin, man. Freeport, what's up?
All right. Long Island.
And the other song, what was the...
Because of Who You Are.
That's what I thought it was.
Yes.
Yeah, so Because of Who You Are, man, again, back to Shekinah and Pastor Thomas. that we sing that song all the time. Of course, when I get there, I join the choir and, you know, and I'm just meeting people and all of that stuff. I got onto the dance ministry. Then I went to college, so I didn't have a chance to embark upon it too much. But because of Who You Are, Ashekinah was one of the popping songs. So I'm like, yo, it always bring a little tear, you know, because I love that thing, man.
Cool. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you all to get ready to call in. I'm sure you
call
may
in.
Have some questions.
Ask
619-924-0800. We have this actor, this educator, this great man of theater is with us, man of God.
Much love.
So call in 619-924-0800. You're listening to Global Gospel. Our special guest, Lamar K. Cheston. Stay tuned.
You are, I give you praise. And because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Once again, you're listening to Global Gospel. Today's topic, life, cameras, action, special guest, Lamar K. Cheston.
Much love. Much love.
Blessings to you, sir, because of who you are. And I think you already told us why you like that song.
Word up.
So we have someone here in... studio that wants to say hello to you.
What's going on, Global Gospel? This is Marlon stopping by to shout out my brother Lamar K. Cheston. I just want to encourage you.
What's good, big brother? How you feeling?
I'm chilling, man. You one of the few people that I actually see eye to eye with because of our height, but I still look up to you.
You're out of control, but that's a fact, though, bro. That's a fact.
Yeah, man. I just want to encourage you to continue to stand in your purpose, bro. You'll always be the main character. Don't forget.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And thank you for reaching out, man. Like, this is dope, man. Hofstra grad, what's up, baby? You already know what time it is, baby.
Yes, sir. H-U, baby. I'm
yes,
still
sir.
Trying to pay up them bills.
Hey, listen, man. One day at a time, baby. One day at a
that's
time.
That's it. That's it. Love is love,
my
baby.
God.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. That's my man, Marlon.
All right. Marlon is our
well, he's my brother, but he's also our PR person here at Global Gospel, and he makes connections with Wallen is the connection. He's the man. All right. Word. Entrepreneur. All right. You're a part of the Hashtag connection. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, 619-924-0800. I could tell our listeners a list of all of your performances.
No, you cannot.
And I will not. I won't do that. I won't do that. You're such a humble person. So I won't do that. So I'll let you choose which projects you want to talk about, and then we'll take it from there.
No doubt. Well, man, you know, well, this last year was a blessing, man. I had the chance to work on Godfather of Harlem, you know, next to Method Man and next to the one and only Forrest Whitaker and ASAP Ferg. And it was a star studded cast of characters, man. And those, I had a chance to be on. So I binge watched the first season. Well, I didn't binge watch the first season. I watched the first season every week as it came out, because I love learning about New York history. Like, I'm from New York, and Bumpy Johnson, like, come on. All I saw was a little bit of him in what's that thing called? American Gangster. So right, now okay. You get a whole fleshed out series. So I watched it, and I'm really big. You can ask anybody who knows me, talks to me, or I talk to. I'm the biggest on manifestation. I think I might have tweeted it or said something the other day. But Manifesto, I was literally sitting there watching. I'm like, yo, this film's in New York. And the only reason I feel like I wasn't on season one was because I was doing a play in Florida. And this is how it all goes. In Florida, I was doing a play with a guy who knows the executive producer of Godfather Harlem. He chose to do the play instead of Godfather Harlem. I didn't know Godfather Harlem was even coming out, and I chose to do the play. But when he told me about it, in the next season, I got on it because, you know, I was intentional about it. I was like, that's something I want to be on. And that was great, man. That was great. Law and Order. I was on Law and – I debuted on Law and Order last year in Organized Crime season one. I came in the season finale as one of the guys from Marcy, you know, Brooklyn. I'm like, that's great. I get to be somebody from Brooklyn, you know, from Marcy.
Wow, that's cool.
Right. So they changed the name from the Marcy Killers to the Marcy Corporation. I like that a little bit better. And then they brought me back for season two. So I had a couple of episodes episodes one and two of season two. And, you know, prayerfully, man, the season is still going on. The storylines are still happening. The writers are still writing. So, you know, from our mouths to God's ear, we're back on that before the year's out. I don't like to talk about stuff because I do forget stuff. And because I just like to work, you know.
Do you want me to mention it?
Go, man.
I'll say it. But no, nobody can ever accuse you of being, you know, conceited or anything like that.
So, you know, it's a
few things out there on film. Judas and the Black Messiah.
Judas and the Black Messiah, yeah, man.
Theater. Black mm-hmm. Angels Over Tuskegee.
Yes.
What else? One Night in Miami.
Oh yeah, another one. You know what? All right. Listen, man. You're doing a lot. All right.
I'm gonna stop right there. Call us. All right. 619-924-0800. Give us a shout out. You got a few more minutes.
Yeah. No. What I would say is I do have to talk about Black Angels Over Tuskegee. That was the show I booked in 2013, and I'm literally still doing that show to this day. Like, that's my brother Leon Gray. I got my mentor Thaddeus Daniels from that show, and it's won an NAACP award. It's traveled the world, and it's taken me out of the country to army bases. Like, that show is one that if it comes back and when, if and when New York City Theater opens up like it really was before, I encourage everyone to come see the show. It's been running off Broadway before the pandemic for 10 years straight off Broadway. And then six, wow, it's an all black show, seven black males and one white male. So it's predominantly black for 10 years. And it's amazing to me how many people have never seen the show. Black Angels Over Tuskegee.
Wow. Awesome. So we're yes, going to have to check that out. And, now that you're on this this platform, this stage, mm-hmm, being a positive role model, what is your and being an educator and you're also teaching as well, what, and you're answering your call, this is your call in life, mm-hmm, because we're all, and one of the reasons behind Global Gospel is that God positions us in different places to let our light shine. And so the only place that you see Christ is not necessarily in the pulpit preaching to you on Sunday morning or in the choir, but God has people everywhere. God right. has people that you're going to sit next to on the bus or on the train
correct, yeah.
or at the beach or wherever. You're just going to bump into somebody, and that's a connection that God wants to make for you or whatever. So now that you're on this stage, what is your message to the young brothers out there?
Yeah, man. You know, it's I always like to tell people to don't glorify the end. Glorify the process, man. You know, be authentic, be real, be true to yourself, and don't allow the pressures. You know, the social medias and you know, the government and everything they're trying. Listen, man, at the end of the day, just be authentic and true to who you are. Everybody's going to go through something, especially as young black men in America, in New York City specifically. We're going to go through a lot. But if we just live in our truth and are transparent about the things that we go through, you know, it'll allow people to understand us more and then respect us more, because we're born at a deficit. You know, we have to continue to climb to be at the respect level of others who are born with that. So we're always going to be trying to fight for, and it's no problem in that, but trust the process. Trust that if you're fighting for the right things, man, everything's going to work out. You don't have to work it out. Just do the work of working it out.
Wow. That's definitely something that we can learn from and glean from, to trust the process and to do our work. And so many times people stop, they give up, they quit, and the end result could just be right there around the corner waiting for them, but they gave up too soon.
And you know what? That's why I say it, because that's what people expect. They life is so hard for the male, the black male at times. The easiest thing to do is just give up, you know?
That's true.
But on the other end of that press, if you just keep pressing, on the other end of all that pain, all that struggle, all of that defeat, if you just keep going, on the other end of that is so many blessings, so many amazing things. But the hard part is actually going through that fire. We get to the front of the fire, it's like, I'm going to come on the other side with some bumps, some bruises, some burns, all of that, but I'm going to be on the other side. Or, you know what, I ain't going to deal with the fire. I just keep it safe. Safe doesn't help us grow. I just tweeted that the other day. Authentic growth comes from real pain. I just tweeted that, and that is so true. You're not thinking about butterflies and, you know, caterpillars. Think about just the birth. You know, the life in general, just the process of a woman giving life. Like, anything that grows authentically is going to have to go through some real pain.
Wow. I think I could use that in a sermon somewhere.
Man, listen. All you gotta do is just let me know the stream. I wanna listen.
I think I got a few pointers today. Points what? I could pull out.
Man, now you and I know you will. Like I know that like the whatever I say is not falling on deaf ears. So I trust that our conversation, is one that will help people, that will help people grow. Even if people don't call in, like, I know people are listening, or they will listen. Like, that's what this is for, man.
They're camera shy.
They're camera shy. It's all good. I don't mind. I don't mind it. Because, I like to talk. So if someone asks me to talk, you are one of two people, you and Jason Henderson, who I just worked or just talked to a couple weeks ago. Y'all are two of the only people that reached out and actually followed up, and it happened, because a lot of people want me to come on and talk or speak about, I don't know why, I ain't do nothing, but they do. So I'm like, all right, yeah, cool, let's rock. And I never hear nothing. You followed up, emails, Jason, you followed up, emails, shit, like, I love it. So, and that's what is expected from me of my brothers. Excellence.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Wow. So, I always welcome opportunities to talk to people that are headed somewhere in life or experiencing greatness or that have something to say. And you know what? Not everybody, people, a lot of people end up in position, but they have nothing to say. So
that's a fact. That is a fact, man.
So
I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
I don't want
right.
Listen. I try to stay as informed. I was just talking to my boy before I got on with you. I was just like, yo, man, I'm busy, but who isn't busy? Everybody can be busy. That's why I miss a lot of stuff, but I always make sure to catch up because I'm like, I never want to be. And I tell this to, like, if I'm at a networking event, or if I'm talking to students, or like when I had the chance to go back and talk to my be the commencement speaker at my high school graduation, I'm like, that's weird as all get out, But I'm like, all right, so what can I impart to them? So I just say these things if I get in these spaces to them, man, because they're the ones who will be taking over for us when we like older and stuff like that.
Wow. So was there anybody that you would like to shout out today that you perhaps didn't mention already?
Oh, I feel like my mother probably gonna be listening to this or watch this later, something like that. So I gotta shout out my mother, man.
Oh, you can't forget that, Never too old to get a whooping.
No, come on, man. I can't do that. I gotta shout out my wife, man. I gotta shout out.
Right.
Oh yeah, man. Ben Clan. Gotta shout out Janaea. That's my best friend, my boy Dion. Yeah, regular people, man. I'm a regular guy. Shout out Alpha Phi Alpha, man. You already know what time it is. Who else? Shout out to y'all. Shout out to y'all for being here. Shout out to Marlon, the connector. We in the building, man. Word up.
Awesome. So I really appreciate you sharing with us today and dropping nuggets with us for life, cameras, action. Certainly, we'll have to do this again. Is there 619-924-0800? I'm going to give you our last opportunity to call if you want. I appreciate you sharing with us. Go ahead.
No. I'm just laughing because I knew it, bro. My mother just texted me. I knew it. I know my mother, bro. Ma, shout out to you. Word up.
Mom, you don't want to call in?
No, chill. Let her chill. She ain't got to call.
Like, that's my baby.
She going to call me when I get off with you. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Love, man, love.
All right, 619-924-0800. We do appreciate you sharing with Global Gospel on today and just giving us encouragement, words of wisdom for life. We thank God that you're being a positive role model, image, someone to look up to
Family Guy, Regular Guy.
Regular guy, man.
You know, that's at the end of the day, that's what really matters, is family and friends. And I think I always heard somebody say, I think it's Prophet Cook says, you don't want to be a public success and a private failure.
Yeah, so, I've heard that before. That's a fact.
So that is so important. That the people that we see the most or love the most or go home to see us and hold us in esteem just as much as the world does, you know. Right. And at the end of the day, God sees all and He knows all. So we certainly always ultimately want to do that which is pleasing in His sight. With that being said, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, man, to that point, you know, the public success and the private failure, it's like the pressures that come with being a public success oftentimes lead to those private failures, because it's just like sometimes you have to put on a face or personality or whatever it is in front of the cameras or whatever, because we go through real things as humans. And then the stage or the camera or whatever the platform is our escape. Once we're off of that, we still have to deal with those real things. So that public success, private failure is a very real and very present, very evident thing in a lot of the lives of people, but definitely artists, man. It's just that art a lot of times gives us an escape from those issues. But when we come home, we still have to deal with the issues.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. With that being said, I want to make sure we covered everything that you got to say, everything that we wanted to say in this episode, because certainly we'll come back and do it again.
I think so, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But telling people to follow me. I'm Lamar K. Cheston everything.
Yes, So follow Lamar K. Cheston. He's on social media. Watch Law and Order, Godfather of Harlem.
Watch that too.
I'm not gonna give a list of all those things. You know, you don't.
Go, go watch Wu-Tang. Go watch Wu-Tang and American Saga. They just got a season 3. And season 2 just ended. So season 1 and 2 is on Hulu right now. Go check that out.
All right. So y'all got something to do. Now, those of you that are in New York and in the Northeast, it's snowing. I was out there. It's snowing real
now
bad.
Now it's time to binge, baby.
So you can binge watch. You can have a Lamar Cheston day.
No, not a Lamarathon. Not a Lamarathon. that's hilarious. Oh, boy. Thank you for that. La Marathon. I like that.
All right.
I like it. because you don't have to change the spelling. And I'm a marathoner. I run. So it's like La Marathon. Oh, boy, that's great. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, check out his page. He's going to put that on there later, and then you can, like, hashtag it. But,
word
yeah.
up.
So for those of you that perhaps missed out on any part of this conversation, we are on Apple iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play. Look for Global Gospel. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. Immediately following this episode, it'll be right there. You can listen to the whole episode in its entirety. Like it. Share it with your families, friends. Leave us a comment on our page or on Lamar's page. The other Lamar's page, not my page. Well, you can leave one on my page, too. But leave us all a comment. Again, we thank you for sharing with us on today. There was something else I wanted to say, but I can't remember. So, I know that you used to you affiliated with Judah Camp, right?
Oh, yes. Jules Bartholomew and Judah Camp. Word up.
Okay, so we're going to close with Dance from Jules Bartholomew and Judah Camp. I've been around
Lamar.
A long time. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm going to say one thing before, after you say what you're saying. Yeah. You said you've been around since when?
So I've been around for a long time. So when I was a lot younger and Marlon was young and we had this music production, and so we went to all the concerts in Brooklyn and everywhere. So it wasn't Judah Camp back then. It was like, I think it was Jules Bartholomew and Brothers and Sisters.
S&B, Sisters and Brothers.
Oh, S&B, right.
Yeah, I know that. I got the album.
So we've been around for a long time. That was like early 2000, late 90s.
Yeah, that was like
03,
04.
It was before that.
It was like probably like 01, 02,
So, listen, God is good. And I'm going to let you take it away. You want to close out in prayer or...
I want to ask everybody to keep me and my family in your prayers. I feel like this year so far has been the best year and will continue to be the best year of our lives. So please keep us in your prayers and thank you in advance.
Well, thank you. We pray. God's blessings on you, your life, your family. As you say, we keep you in prayer, your ministry. We thank you. With that being said,
thank you.
Brief prayer, and we're going to close with dance. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you today for your loving kindness, for your tender mercy. We thank you for the gifts and the talents that you have placed inside of Lamar K. Cheston. We thank you that his light is shining to the world and that you are being glorified and he has not forgotten God, our creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for every listener. We pray that someone was uplifted on today, that they were inspired, that they were encouraged. As their head was hanging down, now their head is lifted up. If there was anyone sick or afflicted listening, we pray that they have been healed by the words that were said. And God, we know that you have power over all things. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And
amen.
Because of this, we are going to dance. Jules Bartholomew and Judah Camp. God bless you. Until next time.
Much love.
What we say when you attack? What we say when we come back? It's war cry. Came with lies and
you thought you hold me back. Don't you tie me down?
Don't you control me?
Don't you control me?
Hey.
Tell me
what goes around.
come on.